Number three, a sense of desertion, forgetting the things that are behind. Determination, I press on toward the goal. And then the last is discipline. By that same rule, let us walk. So here's five areas just in this verse that I hope will give us a kind of an outline, a recipe, a formula that will help us be, not that we're not already, but be successful in our Christianity, in our relationship with one another, in our work here. Everybody, we think of, wants to be successful. I don't know anybody that starts out in with a plan or a project thinking, I think I'll do that because I know I can't do it. We usually think, I think I can do this because I have a lot of help, resources, information available. So I'm going to tackle this task even if I haven't done it before because of the help available. And that's what we want to look at in this verse. One of the best ways I think of to learn success is to imitate the pros. You find somebody that's already doing what you want to do and then copy that. Or ask them to help you. Would you show me how that's done or what you do? I know when I listen to preachers, when I go to gospel meetings or seminars or things like that, if I hear someone that I'm kind of impressed with, I want to copy even their speech or even the way they dress. I want a suit like that. Or even their gestures, voice inflection, posture, even the way they stand. And it's all done to get as close as possible to that successful style. We want to do well at what we do. So when something works, we copy it. So we want to examine the spiritual biography of the Apostle Paul just in these few verses and his message. So here it is in Philippians 3, beginning of verse 12. Not as though I have already obtained, neither were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I'm also I am apprehended of in Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward or forth unto those things which are before or ahead. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us, therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. Copy that, he says. And if in anything you be otherwise reminded, God shall reveal even this unto you. But nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. So here are at least five things to look at, and I'm going to say rather quickly. But number one, dissatisfaction. Not that I've already attained, or not that I'm already made perfect. No matter what our station in life or what our success already is, we need to have that kind of sense in a look at our spirituality. There's more to do. There's more to attain. I haven't arrived. And that's what Paul is saying to us. When I look at Paul, I'm thinking, Apostle Paul, you're there. You're head and shoulders above the rest of us. Rest a while. But he doesn't say that. He doesn't say, I've arrived, so I'm going to take a break now. You guys just press on. He says, I haven't arrived. I haven't attained. Here's this spiritual giant, in my estimation, or our estimation, saying that. He admits, there's miles to go. The destination isn't reached yet. So no matter where you and I are in our spiritual growth, always maintain a sense of dissatisfaction. I think it's tragic to see Christians self-satisfied with their Christian growth. Maybe they're saying, I don't need any more Bible classes. I don't need any more fellowship. I don't need any more gospel meetings. I don't need any more workshops. And they fail to recognize that this, a sense of dissatisfaction is essential in building successful living. Even in life. Not just in spirituality or Christianity. You know, and God gives a warning against a false estimate of our spiritual condition. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 10, let him that thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. When I was in sales back, 35 years ago or so, I had a sales manager. My first job was selling bookkeeping forms in sales. Mark Pierce, yes, I still remember his name. Good friend back then. I haven't seen him since, but worked at that place called McBee Systems for about 4.5 years. But Mark Piercy was the sales manager, and a lot of times he would hold staff meetings. And if one of the salespeople, or just half a dozen of us, you know, he had called in the poor performers. But he wouldn't just blast them. He would review techniques. He would set goals, or he would go over their prospect lists, or he would encourage. Oh, Mark would call in the poor performers, and he would offer help and offer sympathy. He might even say, I once was where you now stand. You know. Then he calls in the sales leader. One time I was for that week or two, and he'd say, why didn't you sell more? Wait a minute, I'm the leader. He would say, don't sit on your laurels. He might say, Brian, you made quota by Wednesday. You slacked off for 2 more days. In other words, don't be satisfied. I thought he'd call me in to praise me. he calls me in. I'm in the office at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and I think, well, I'll just write up these orders now. And he says, get out of here. You still have 2 more hours in the sales day. He wouldn't let you be satisfied with success. The sales leader. Oh, there's a sense of dissatisfaction that we need to have if we're going to be successful, even in Christian living. Number two, direction. This one thing I do. Paul's life was, in a sense, dominated by singleness of purpose. So I just kind of put in your notes. You know, he's not going to be sidetracked. He's not going to be half-hearted in his effort. He's not going to allow himself to be distracted from the main objective in life. So I even put someone said, and I've heard this quote for years, obstacles are what you see when you take your eyes off the goal. It's an I probably got that from sales. But obstacles are what you see when you take your eyes off the goal. So the Bible, Paul says, you'll set your affections on things above. Let that be your sight line. All of these other things contribute to that one goal right there. If you start looking around saying, oh, worship again? Oh, I don't want to go. That's a hard job. But no, you keep your eye on the goal and you'll see all of these other things as a helper for success in attaining that ultimate goal, because your affections are set on things above, not on things of the earth. That's what he's saying. So one thing I do, you know, no matter how powerful the locomotive, if he doesn't have a destination, he stays in the yard. That's the way it is with you and me. Doesn't matter how gifted you are, if you don't know where you're going, you're going to get there. Nowhere. And you're likely settled for second best. So we need a purpose. I've known people, and you probably have too, that have quit jobs because that job was not satisfying. They wanted to make a greater or more significant contribution either to their family or to society or a project or an organization. And they'll even move to do that. You look in the life of this congregation. You ever notice when we have a service to render or a work to accomplish, we're happier? Just kind of think over the years. When there's been something to do, a goal, an objective, we're happier. To live successfully, we need a major goal in which the lesser goals contribute to the achieving of that one grand goal. Need to be like Martha. Did I put that on you? Like Martha. Martha, you're careful, and Jesus said to her, you're careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful. And Martha, I'm glad to see you doing this work over here, but you know, right now, this is the better part. This one thing is needful right now. We'll get to that, but right now, come sit and listen. Like Nehemiah, when others put up so many distractions, in Nehemiah 6, verse 3. He says, I'm doing a great work. I can't come down. And that was one of the things that Sanballat and the others tried to stop the work of Nehemiah rebuilding the wall. Nehemiah, let's conference. Let's talk. Why don't you come down? Let's think this thing over. Nehemiah, I'm doing a great work and I'm not going to stop. Sense of purpose. Direction. Number three is desertion. Forgetting the things that are behind. Obviously, we remember the past. So it must be another definition or message in that phrase. We want to remember things of the past, people say, so we don't repeat the mistakes. But so when we forget the things of the past, I think what Paul has in mind here, at least one item that Paul may have in mind, is we don't want to be influenced or affected in a negative way from the things that we've have had happen in our past. We need to forget the things that are behind, some things. And so I put there's two dangers of living in the past. One, we remember to distraction. I think that's what he said. He's saying, forgetting the things that are past. If that's a distraction to forward progress, you need to forget some of those things in the past. I think Paul had a lot to forget. He had a good conscience when persecuting the Christians. Wow, how are you going to live with that, Paul? Knowing what you know now, how are you going to live knowing what you've done for those years? He even said in 1 Timothy 1, verse 15, Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. You're the worst of the lot? Wow, why don't you just sit down and pull something over your head or crawl in a corner? Why don't you just quit? That's a big burden, Paul. No, I'm going to forget the things of the past. Because it's going to distract me with what I need to do now. Number two is that we tend to live off previous success. And then when you do that, you lose that sense of dissatisfaction. You can't say, oh no, I've already achieved so much. I'm just going to sit on that. No. Yesterday's accomplishments shouldn't take us from today's work. Can you imagine a runner constantly looking behind him? There's the finish line over there. Yeah, but you know, I've run a pretty good race so far. I'm going to finish it out by looking back. No. Number four in the notes, an attitude that we need to have to be successful is determination. I press on toward the goal. And I put it by definition for press. You know, it's an endeavor. It's like a hunter pursuing an animal. That you're going to exert something in this. We're going to push. We're going to gut it out. I'm going to press in Christianity. Whatever it takes, press. 1 Timothy 4, verse 7 says, exercise yourself unto godliness. Exercise. Oh, no. You're probably thinking, oh, you could have left out the word exercise. Exercise. Yeah. Anytime somebody tells us, oh, well, if you want to meet this goal, you have to exercise. Oh, come on. I don't want to do it. But we need to have a determination. I'm going to press toward the goal. The last one, number five, is discipline. By that same rule, let us walk. It's not enough to run hard. We need to run by the rules. You entered the race by the rules. Now we need to stay on that outline course. Don't break any rules while you're running. Finish the course. You know, Paul said in 2 Timothy 2, verse 5, if any man contend in the games, he's not crowned except he's contended lawfully. You know, over the years, we've heard about sports teams, individual athletes, for forfeiting a prize because it was discovered that they didn't contend lawfully. In a lot of our major sports, individuals and teams have forfeited something because they didn't contend lawfully. So if we want to be successful in Christianity, in Christian living, contend lawfully. So the last part is, you know, we want to strive to be successful in Christian living. And this one, I just put this verse in. Let's look at Paul. Let's copy his example. Let's look at the pro. What did you do, Paul? 2 Timothy 4, verse 8, I started it for you. Paul said, I'm now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I'm going to quit. But he did say, I fought a good fight. Now I've finished the course, kept the faith. Henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that day. But not to me only, but to all those that will love his appearing. We need to fall in love with Jesus' second coming. Run the race successfully. That's the lesson. Successful Christian living. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation, song of exhortation. There's one here this evening, not a member of the New Testament church, and you've heard the good news, and you recognize that you need to make that decision to be baptized. We can accomplish that this evening. While we're gathered here to rejoice in that decision, you may want to make that your resolve right now. Or if there's one here that just simply says, while brethren are gathered here, I need to share a troublesome time or something in my life and just ask for prayers while we're gathered. We can do that too. So let's stand together and sing the song that Dennis has selected for us. If you need to respond, or if that's your desire, your resolve, let's do so while we're singing this song together.